going, dude.
Excited.
All right. Welcome back to Tip It Out. We have the Masters special this week, and that's not the only special thing going on. We have a special guest for you. We'll get to him in a second, but I'm going to read the script provided by Ben Foltz here. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the world's greatest golf show, Tip It Out. We're Mac Belovich and Ben Foltz, but tonight we have a very special guest. Evan Jenkins, also known as Spankins, self-proclaimed spouter, noise creator, and golf haver. Welcome to the show, Evan Jenkins.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be a guest. I'm getting into the podcast. I mean, you guys are all my good friends, but I don't listen to it enough. But I'm excited to be a guest. I have lots of very hot, scorching hot takes on a wide range of things in the golf world. So I'm excited to put that out into the public.
Oh yeah, you have many hills to die on, and I'm excited to put those out into the world.
I don't care how many people are even here to listen. I'm just spouting out on top of a mountain about people like Akshay Bhatia, Ludwig Aberg, whatever you. I can't remember. But yeah, excited to be here.
Yeah. Well, you know, people are probably going to wonder why Evan Jenkins. Well, one, he's a friend, but I'm going to list off a few of his bona fides so that you know he comes with pulling some weight. He's the 2020 intramural basketball champion, self-proclaimed sure. MVP. Some compare his basketball game to Hoodie Mello, not just normal Carmelo Anthony.
Very
Hoodie
true. Mello.
I wouldn't disagree with any of that.
Inaugural Mel Reeb Cup champion with his teammate, our one and only Ben Foltz.
Let's go.
And the undisputed biggest Tiger hater in America.
Okay. I think where the hate comes in is I don't hate Tiger. I actually really like Tiger. I hate the fan club that do not want to be a part of. It's, and I know that this is like a family podcast, but it's just too much of what we all know what we're talking about with what everyone in the media is doing to Tiger at all times. And it's just constant. I heard a guy today, he was like, he literally said, exactly, it's dick riding. And it's what he said today. He was like, this guy hasn't played in 3 months. That is just a bold-faced lie. That guy probably plays three times a day. I mean, that's just, they just look for anything to say, oh my God, this guy is the greatest person ever. But he is, I mean, he's a legend of the game. What can you say, you know, other than that? But I am a hater of the fan club. And I do like to spice up the guys who are big Tiger guys, because I really like talking.
Yeah. Jenkins is a known Tiger.
I can't help myself sometimes. I really can't.
Everybody's zigging. He's zagging.
All day, every day.
That's yeah.
Well, if you know, Jenkins, by the way, congratulations on recently getting engaged. Hopefully you're looking forward to married life. Did you finally get that mega bed built?
Yeah, the bed's built. It's right here. It took a long time. That was an L. I'm pissed I got Rory, but it is what it is. I missed the first pick.
Now, the real question everybody wants to know is this new perspective going to help or hurt the golf game?
Which perspective?
Getting married.
Oh, I think it'll. I think it'll help. I think all this stuff makes me much more of a calm human being. As you guys have known me for a while, I'm a bit of a rage monster, and I think even like this last year, I probably had a. I didn't do as well to like keep my mental game in check. I thought I got better as the year went on, but I think like this stuff all helps. Like the more I get like less focused on golf and focused on other stuff, but I always like have golf as my like fallback to just like. My like relaxed thing, which I need to focus on more than it being my relaxed thing.
I love that. That's a great take.
Thanks, man. I love to think I say that, and then I'm going to go out with you or something next weekend, and I'm going to slice my drive on the third hole. But I won't do that. But I have the capacity to do things like that, which is what I'm trying to not do.
You
had a great round at Valley of the Eagles recently. Really turned
oh, I had a great run. You shot 72, waxed everybody. he did not. I had a round that included a bunch of bogeys to start, and then just a par train that was pretty good.
But emotionally, you didn't falter.
I stayed chill the whole round, which also you should be. Like if it's around April, like I'm not even like I almost like didn't even want to like put my score in, but I did because it wasn't that bad. So I did, because I'm vain.
You probably flaunt that first Northeastern round of golf in the 78.
Yeah, but it was nice. By the Eagles is a gem of a course. Mac, have you played it?
Yeah, we played it.
Oh, that's right.
Not last November, the November before.
Yeah, awesome course. Lots of like trick shot holes, but I mean, I think it's just like one of the really good visual courses you can play in Ohio. Yeah, Northeast Ohio.
They did a good job with the aeration too. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, the greens were in like very good shape compared to other places I had played that I would even consider weren't that bad. That was much better.
Well, yeah. If you boys have some time, TPC is already rolling pure at an 11. So,
well, I am booked solid, but I will have to let you know.
Well, if you ever find yourself up in the Metro Detroit area, maybe for the draft or you know, other things,
I will let you know.
Yeah, well, or if you're just a fan visiting, go ask Mac Belovich at TPC for an autograph. It'll make him feel real, real special.
It will make me feel real giddy inside. I think, talking about, having a pretty good round of value, the Eagles, I think this leads into Fulte's question. If you want to fire away, Ben?
Yeah, sure. So I had a couple questions to get you just warmed up. What would you say is your best round of all time? And, why is it a 78? Is really all I care about.
What do you mean 78? It's not a 78.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Sorry. What's your best round of all time?
Oh, are you legitimately asking me that? I wasn't sure if this were you talking about my round on Saturday or you're talking about my actual best round ever.
No, I'm asking you about your best round ever, but I was taking a little poke at you.
No, you're fine. Well, I definitely wasn't. No, and that's a very easy question to answer because I just have always known what it is. I don't think I'll ever beat it. Was my the first round of my state tournament my senior year. I shot 72 in like 32 degree cold windy weather. I was tied for first. Me and this one kid, we literally played. I played together with the other kid that shot 72. We were on fire. I mean, we literally had just a great day. I mean, it was such a bad day. We were clear, I think, of second place by three shots. I mean, I ended up shooting, I think, 82 the next day, and I got seven. But that round was just like a solidification of just like being a good golfer. And I was my best round ever. I mean, I started out par birdie, par, and then I made a bad double, and then I just
parred out.
Or yeah, I mean, I was two under. I'm sorry. I made birdie, par, birdie, double, and then I parred out.
What a round!
At North Star in Columbus, which is a tough, very tough course. Have you ever played there, Fultz?
Oh yeah, all the time in high school for sure.
Yeah, not it's do you either like it or hate it. I like the course, but I hate it because of it.
Yeah,
we ended up losing states. We got second, but that was still my best round.
Tough round. Nice. All right. Sweet. I'll follow it up with my next question here, which is, what's your favorite part of the Masters? And it's kind of a two-parter here, which is, what's your top pick after seeing this first round?
Oh, well, I can answer both of those questions. I love the Masters. I do. I was thinking I was going to take this time to take a little bit of shot at the Masters, but I'll wait till after I say I love the Masters. I did my eighth grade speech on the Masters. I literally played like a video Jack rolling in the putt on 17, as a putt stopped in part. And they just talked about just like the concept of it and everything. But the shot I'm going to take at it is that the coverage is just atrocious. The not starting until later is a joke. I'm working from home. I could literally have watched so much golf today. It's absurd. And
I thought we got Jenkins, not Ryan Ferrara on the pod.
But I mean, I had the laptop on, I had everything, but it's just so difficult. It's like such a chore. It's like, why this should stuff to just be on like a streaming service. I mean, I understand that it's like its own unique thing, but, and I respect that part of it, but that part frustrates me. And that's the shot I was going to take about the Masters. But today I threw like $5 on Max Homa coming down the stretch. I've always liked his game at Augusta. I don't know if he's going to even win. I'm honestly hoping he just gets to the point where the lead where I can like cash out or something because I don't really expect him to actually win. But I like his game there. I think I like his headspace and all that. I mean, I'm really worried about Bryson though. I'm really worried. We're about to see a Bryson show. And I mean, I used to hate him with a passion. I wouldn't say I hate him with a passion anymore. I kind of love him in like a really weird way. He's just so annoying, but it's just, he's just, and I think what Tron on Norlana, he's such a goober. He's such a goober.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's a nerd, but you gotta love him. I mean, like, it's hard to not love him a little bit, just a little bit.
I agree.
But those would be the two people that I'm like, I mean, Scotty's obviously just going to probably win. But, like, those are the two guys that, I mean, obviously they're playing well, but I really liked Helma and Bay, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all and right. That was a clutch birdie to close out the day, at least, and going into
I did see that. Yeah, I saw him bogeying 12, which is okay.
That was a tough break on that chip shot, bounce off the fringe, and just got a fringe boost.
What are you going to – you just got to get out 12 without a double. Yeah. That's all you can do.
Hell of an up and down by Tiger there, I will say, out of the pine.
I want to know something. I have to ask you guys. Who specific idea was it to give me Rory when I wasn't able to make my first pick? Who was like, oh, Jamie's going to want Rory? If you know me, you would know I wouldn't want Rory in any circumstance.
Evan Ferrara made a little bit of
I figured it was. Yeah, I figured
it was. It was a spur of the moment. I'm sure he was cooking it up way before that and didn't tell anybody.
I am kind of convinced that because I didn't pick him, he's probably going to do well, and I'm probably going to be an idiot. I just would have. I'm just kidding. I mean, it's not going to matter, but
you're going to get away with something. You're definitely going to get away with something there.
I'm mad at my picks, even though they played well, but I was like, I kind of went back to the same dudes I always do, which is like Brian Harman and Tom Kim. And I shouldn't even, I mean, I almost took Minwoo, but he actually came back today. I saw he was like five over then. He came back to two.
He bounced back a little bit. He wasn't too bad. Yeah.
I don't even know. What did Akshay shoot? I don't even know. Akshay, I didn't see a single shot under.
One under. Yep.
Another reason why the coverage is atrocious. I've been trying to watch every shot.
Through 16.
Didn't see one single shot of the one. My boy Akshay Pasia.
I didn't see a single shot either. I was watching all. I was watching since 10:30, or well, I guess 12, because I had, you know, I had to do some work, you know.
No, I had to. I really wasn't able to get into it. It's probably like 2:33 a day, but I had it on in the background.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Akshay, you know, you wanted 10 minutes. You wanted your soapbox.
Well, I don't. I won't do 10 minutes. I just really love. I just have such affection for the guy. I think he's going to be such a good player.
Agreed.
He's such a chill dude.
He's so entertaining.
I don't want to talk too much about his personal, but I know about his. You know, he's got some family members that are somewhat attractive, and I, you know, there's some Instagram follows out at certain points. That's beside the point. He's just a super cool dude. His swing, I mean, I remember seeing his swing, you know, he's just so flexible. He smashes the ball. He's a lefty. Augusta's just always favors lefties. I just like I have him to top five this week. I will, if all you guys will glaze Tiger, I'll glaze Akshay, my boy. I think he's got next. I think he's going to be, I think he's going to win like six or seven majors.
I love watching him.
That's the hottest scorching hot take.
Did you watch his finish last week?
Yeah.
Truly wild.
I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable finish from the kid.
He was kind of fumbling the bag. That's a fact. But, you know.
But also, you can't compete against somebody who has seven birdies in a row.
He hits the ball. Exactly. And he still just needs to figure out his putter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he figured it out on 18. That was fun to watch them both rolling those birdie putts there. So I'm fully riding Akshay Bhatia as well. I love him. I think he's a great guy. He's going to be fun to watch too.
And I like he didn't go to college. He didn't follow the same path. He just went to the pros and he's just been grinding. I think he has that advantage over some of these college kids that, I mean, obviously the college tournaments are serious, but they're not that serious. They're not for any money. I think these kids stay for like 4 years and God bless them. But I think if you really want to do good on tour, just go to the tour. I mean, just Jordan Spieth did it. A lot of guys that just Aberg did it. You know,
turning pro is a whole different beast. You know, you're with it in college. Totally. You have your team. You have your a set like support system wherever you go. In pro golf, it's just you, maybe your caddy. Like you got to blaze your own path. You got to learn how to survive. It's truly, you know, survival of the fittest on these pro tours. And, you know, everybody was, like, saying how bad of a move that was when he turned pro in, like, 2019, 2020.
Yeah.
And saying, you know, that's a terrible idea. And, you know, it
didn't really hear from him for a while.
It didn't really.
Like they kind of, like, shut him out. They kind of always focus on, like, like the Pearson Cutie and Parker Cutie and all like the guys who were in college, and those guys did well and all that. But I feel like that kind of hurt him like publicity wise. Now he's just kind of slammed into the public.
Yeah. I think it was smart in the long run of he had to, you know, he learned the grind. He went back, he went down to the Corn Ferry Tour, had a few wins, and, you know, is now tearing it up with a win last week at Valero, and he's playing really good golf.
And I knew everyone was saying that they thought he was already in, but he wasn't, because he wasn't already in from his, because I know he won like the Barracuda, yeah. But that's a Stableford event. I don't think that's like an actual PGA event that you get into the Masters for winning.
He had to win Valero to get in.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah. I didn't know if that was for sure. Because he technically would have two PGA wins, but the one is a Mickey Mouse event, I guess.
Yeah, a little Mickey Mouse clubhouse event. For sure. It is. I mean, it was still a good win, but you know, that's not gonna get you in the Masters. So that's why that finale last weekend was a lot more entertaining to watch, at least from my point of view. It was cool watching him try to fend for his Masters, you know, debut versus.
Yeah. That's what makes those tournaments even cooler for guys who are like golf fans like us. I feel like it's just like you get to know like all the implications, because you know, most people just see winning a lot of money, but it's like you get to go to the Masters or something. This is like a whole other level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's playing decently. I think he's one under at his finish so far in 16. Yep.
Yeah.
He's playing pretty well.
Today, through 16, he birdied 2 and he birdied 15 and bogeyed 6. Everything else. It's just a steady round of golf.
One thing that nobody's going to mention about Akshay, which I can relate to heavily, is he's a fellow skinny guy. And one really funny moment that happened actually at the Valero is he drains that birdie putt on 18 and he celebrates a little too hard and he throws his arm up and he like fist bumps. And then the whole playoff, he's like grabbing his shoulder.
That's something that happened to you. That's something that happened to you while we're golfing.
That's happened to me 3 times while I'm golfing. So from that, I think that's a good point. I'm like, I'm all in on Akshay.
Yeah. I feel like that's even relates to you, like your body type, and then like Akshay's body type, and like a Will's Outdoors. They're just skinny, but they're just wired up. You like they're veiny. It's all muscle. And I would say like it's a lot of muscle. And I mean, you guys hit the ball a mile. Why not, you know, weigh it a ton? And it doesn't matter how much you weigh, you know, if you are. But I feel like it's literally like this type of body type that I think you literally have.
Oh yeah. No, so I can relate to him a little bit more when it comes to some of those injuries type struggles out there on the course. I think it just makes him fun to watch too. It would be really cool to watch him play kind of a playoff scenario versus like Rory or Koepka or something like that, or even. Yeah. Himself, that'd be really cool, because it's like literally David and Goliath type of body types out there. they're both still so good, you know.
Yeah,
he's so fun to watch.
Well, yeah, he's definitely somebody to watch for the, you know, the rest of this week.
Yeah,
especially absolutely. Making his first Masters appearance, so obviously probably not gonna win. Nobody really does.
Have you guys seen? Do you know what the weather's supposed to be like tomorrow there?
I have not checked the weather. Yeah, I think it's supposed to be pretty clear.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I think it's supposed to be pretty nice. I mean, I don't even think the wind has been crazy.
Oh yeah,
this afternoon. I'm surprised the scores aren't kind of exploding
for the rest of the week.
Yeah,
I mean, 30 something mile an hour winds. I mean, the trees in the
that's
broadcast
fun, though. I like that.
They're about to fall over. Yeah,
I liked having high winds today. You know.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I don't want. Like, I don't really mind when somebody wins a tournament at 25 to 30 under par. It's not really a big deal to me. But I like seeing them forced to really have to work hard.
For sure. It's starting to bother me. I mean, it just can't happen. But I feel like when they come down to the Florida swing, like, those courses are all hard. And they haven't really had, like, one of those rounds. And it's when they play them, I mean, and it's really just, like, if the wind is going to be a big factor. But, no, I love it when it's like this. My only phrase when something happens where, like, in the morning, Bryson goes out and shoots – you know, a 64, 63, and then everyone else is set, and then he has like a 5-shot lead, and it's like, oh my god, am I going to see it? Just a Bryson show? But
right,
I totally agree. It's good to see these. You love to see these guys grind. I mean, that's what you want.
Yeah.
Well, I want.
It makes that 7-under more impressive, too.
It really does. Right,
he didn't play a lot in the wind, but like still, like shooting those 7-unders. I know Scotty at 6-under was in the wind. Like, it's. I'm like going out there like, can I even break 85?
Yeah, right. You also see such a variety of shots too. Like I've seen, I saw who was it? I think like Hideki Matsuyama hit this crazy shot on the third hole in the wind. That longer par three is like 175 yards or something like that, and he hit this crazy big, you know, bend sweeping like cut into that pin placement. So it's just cool because you wouldn't normally see that. You would just see some high floater that drops right next to the pin, but you know, versus these guys are having to take it almost 20, 30 yards offline to begin with, and then they're like, you know, hitting these crazy shots in there. So it makes it much more entertaining to watch in my opinion. Well,
what I really think is one of the toughest holes, I mean, and I think everyone agrees, is 10. Like even watching the highlights, right now, like 10, I feel like everyone hit a bad shot in on 10. Like that is such a hard hole. I mean, that is like an auto bogey, I feel like, for most of these guys. It's a birdie, a par is a birdie. Like, I mean, this hole, I mean, they have to, because of the way the green runs, you have to like cut the ball in and the fairway slopes right to left. And it's just like, they're all trying to hit these big cuts off of that line. You see them, they're all queefing them into the brush of the bunker on the right. You know,
that's my bogey. That pin placement is tough. That's my bogey for the week. Is Hovland? You mentioning 10. His second shot on 10 was 40 yards right of the green.
That was tough.
Yeah, that was brutal. That was brutal to watch.
I don't even know. I'm watching it now, and he made double. He just punched it back out across the green.
Like, yeah, there was nothing he could do.
The camera was zooming in on nothing, and then a ball just pops out.
I have a bogey for the week. My bogey for the week is Jason Day's pants. That would be my bogey.
It's a great bogey.
I will say I respect the fashion game, and I think he looks like a G, and I respect it. But like just with how windy it was today, I was literally cracking up watching it because it was, and he had to feel like an idiot. I mean, it was just a lot. Like he's just blowing around like crazy.
Who was it in the group chat who said, was that you, Jenkins?
No, it was me. I said he could have dropped into Normandy with those pants. I mean, seriously, he could have parachuted. I mean, those things are
huge.
They're way too huge. I mean, they don't have to be that big. They really don't. I mean,
on top of
it, comically large.
I realized how baggy they were.
Comically large.
When they kept zooming in on it, I realized they're cargo pants too. Like they have a massive like outside outer pocket.
Well, he's such a vibe because he's always wearing these sunglasses. And you think about what he used to wear. He was always like an Adidas guy. He always had on these like athletic stuff. He never had like any like fashion at all. Not that I would even care, but now he's just like, I mean, he just looks like I don't even know how to describe it. I mean, he's wearing these sunglasses. And he's got on this outfit. He looks like he's like in SoCal, like just like going out to play like a muni. I mean, that's really what I mean. But I respect it.
I think the funniest part is watching the wind impact those pants. I mean, at one point, his pant leg like twisted around his own leg, so he had like a spiral pant leg going down his leg in the middle of his backswing. I'm serious.
I'm gonna buy you. I'm gonna buy you some Malbon pants, dude. I have to see that. Like, I just have to. Like, you would look so funny in those pants. Sorry. I would look like I wear normal pants. I think I already have massive legs.
They would look normal on you.
And they'd probably look.
Got thick thighs.
I would look quite comical.
What's up?
Thick thighs save lives.
Exactly.
Yeah, but if
one
he caught
I,
it,
one thing I noticed, right. One, I didn't realize Vijay Singh was playing this year, which I mean, not shocked by any means, I just didn't realize it. Yeah. It didn't really go into my mind. But then I was watching him and he got some coverage on like a par putt. He makes it, they zoom in. He's wearing Hokas.
Dude, hell yeah.
Is he really?
Dude, I've met Vijay. I met Vijay. I didn't talk to him more than just to say hi, but like, he was at Firestone a lot. I think he even like stayed on the property for a couple of weeks before because I was a caddy at Firestone Country Club and they had the senior players there. And he was there and he was always practicing chipping cross-handed. And I was like, he was there a lot. And I would be chipping right by the caddy bar so you could see him. He was always chipping cross-handed for practice. And I like became obsessed with doing that. And it really is a really good tool. Dude, he's got, if you like give him an Instagram follow, he's got tons of just wild stuff that's like, I mean, it's for probably an older generation, but it's pretty good, like flexibility. And he's super flexible guy. Like it's crazy.
Oh, yeah. He's an unknown grinder in the gym.
Oh, he's a total MF-er. Like he like gambles. He is not like, I don't think, like illegally or anything, but yeah, I mean, from what I've heard from Spicatis, he's
not quite like Phil,
interesting guy. Kind of like Phil. Yes.
Kind of like Phil.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. How about a birdie from the first day of the Masters? We won't call it the first round. Still not complete, but any highlights from the first round that we want to touch on?
Damn, I'm trying to really think. I mean, I'm honestly struggling to find. I just think the highlight has got to be just an acknowledgement of how good Scottie Scheffler is. I mean, this man is just on an absolute tear that hasn't been seen. I mean, it's like 2.5 years that this guy has just been the most consistent best golfer in the world, and he should just get flowers just for always being there. And if he leaves to be with his son, then God bless him. But that's pretty dumb.
Yeah.
I don't think he should do that.
Those hospital bills are not cheap, let me tell you.
Yeah, and that's what you love about him. He seems like this guy, and think about how much money that guy's made. And it just seems like nothing's happened to him, and I just respect his mental game, even though he does freak out a little bit. But he's just a great guy. That would be my birdie for the day. It's just Scottie Scheffler is, without a doubt, the best golfer right now, and arguably of the last 10 years, like on his current streak, probably since Koepka was on his run. There's no one that's touched this kind of run.
Honestly,
maybe Koepka wasn't playing. Koepka was playing the majors. I mean, he didn't win anything else during that run. He just won. I mean, he won four majors, 2 years. Yeah. That's a thing. But he wasn't like doing it every week like Scotty is.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, Scotty's just a grinder and a consistent one at that. And my birdie is also Scottie Scheffler, but specifically his birdie on 13.
Mm. Oh, so an actual birdie. You were looking for my answer.
No. How did that ball on 13 stay out of the water?
I have no idea.
I didn't even realize it did. I think I went to the shower or something. I saw him hit it, and I was like, oh, this guy just hit the water. I didn't even realize it stayed out.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Like, and then he went on to par 14 and then birdied 15 and 16. So, like, you know, that becomes par, maybe a bogey. Like, that changes the round quite a bit, you know. He's not
– massive turning point.
He's not sitting up at the second spot in the leaderboard. He's, you know, he's – looking up at Bryson and a flyer I took on my team, Nikolai Højgaard.
Yeah, that's a good pick. He's
really
good.
He's a real deal. Also,
I can't believe I'm going to have to look at Danny Willett's name for at least the next 24 hours. So annoying. But no, the guy has like the golden ticket. You know, he just out of nowhere wins the Masters because Jordan Spieth implodes and now just gets the GOAT here every day for the rest, every year for the rest of his life. God, doesn't play in it. Does he play other tournaments? Like, I have no idea. Like, I don't think so. I know he had shoulder surgery. Yeah, but yeah. I mean, he probably has a membership. They probably go to plays there like every day, like all the time. Probably knows the course like the back of his hand, and this is what he lives for now. Is just to go out. He'll probably do this. I bet he does this like 8 more times for the rest of our lives. So he'll probably be always like on the top, like near the leaderboard, just
top 10, probably.
Yeah. So like, or just like so many others.
Infinite amount of time to prepare for this because he doesn't play in anything else.
Yeah, they're replaying the match. They're replaying the coverage, and now I'm just getting Jason Day's pants right in front of me.
It is. They're ridiculous.
I just had to watch them all day. It's just so funny.
I will say
it's never not funny.
Fulte, any birdies from you?
I would just say after the first day, I mean, you know, my birdie is just the fact that they were able to play out there today. I know it's boring, but
that's a great birdie. What are you talking about? I was waking up and looking at the forecast. I was like, oh, dude, it looked like it's not going to miss Augusta. I was like, pumped. Got me jacked up.
They got massive fans. They got fans under the greens and fans around the property just pushing all bad weather away.
Especially after last year. Last year was a major L, if I remember correctly. I mean, even the last couple of years, it's just tough.
They've had at least one day of, like, big-time rain.
Big-time
rain. You probably always going to get that in April. I mean, it's hard to – nowadays, it's just a lot of storms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, also, you know, I'm looking at the leaderboard now, and I'm looking around the cut line, so it's – The top 50 and
top 50
and ties. So right now we're sitting around +2 for the cut line and some big names sitting around. So one shot better than the cut line. John Rahm, we got
he's a rage monster today.
He was DJ Morikawa. And then sitting just below and on the cut line at T54, Spieth. Who else? Siwoo Kim's sitting
Danny
there.
Danny McCarthy,
Ricky Fowler, Matsuyama's +4.
Yeah, I saw that.
Tough.
Keegan Bradley is +3.
Yeah. Nick Dunlop looked like he was absolutely lost all day.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't know.
For a second, though, I was like, he may bring it back. I don't know. But no, I think.
I mean, that's just one of those courses where it takes time. I mean, I'm pretty sure Tiger, like, his first couple, I think, I don't think he did not win his first, second, the third time, I think, there. Maybe his third time. But that takes time. That course is so hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I feel like Nick Dunlap's game, like, he strikes me more of just like a blasted everywhere birdies, some of these courses. And I think, I don't know if his game is ready for Augusta yet. But I'm sure it will be. I'm sure it will be in the coming years.
Yeah, absolutely.
He just needs to get comfortable, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poor Malnati with a really tough back nine.
Yeah, it's a shame that the PGA board president can give a little better effort today.
Yeah.
Jenkins, I want your synopsis. We're gonna stop by the block party, real quick. What do you think?
I don't think I said to you the video. What'd you say?
Rory's first round, 1 under. He didn't play himself out of contention for the first time in forever.
It's like being stuck in a flat circle. Like, I'm back. I always say I'm not going to, and I always like bet on Rory like quietly because I always think he might win because he really is one of the most talented golfers of all time. He's just. And everyone always talks about it. He's just totally missed so many opportunities. And even like just today's like a microcosm of why he misses opportunities. It's like he's in the middle of the fairway on 15. I think he was two under. He just blows it right. And it's terrible shot in. I mean, he had an easy chip up and then he made par. And then he hits it to 4 feet or 5 feet on 16, which is like a bonus birdie, and misses it. And I'm just like, I can't believe I have to ride with this guy. I think he has the full capability of shooting like 65 tomorrow and being like one of the leaders, but I don't think that's gonna happen.
Yeah, he's tried every different possible way to prepare for this tournament. This year, his secret was playing golf with his dad around the area in South Carolina.
Yeah, you know who he needs to play with? He needs to play with Butch Harmon. He needs to go out and not golf for 1 month and literally just stay in Butch Harmon's like guest house. That's the only man who can save this man. I think it's really – he really struggles with like the shots that I feel like most people who are – better players or even support players, which are like these like full wedges or like knockoff wedges. And I think he is so bad at those shots. He's so good driving the ball.
I can't believe
he's not better. And I hate that he putts with that spider. I always think he putts bad with that.
He's got to go back to that Nike method.
I think he should go to anything. I think he putts better with the knothead. He won all his, I think, he, what, how many, he won at least two of the majors. I know he won his last major with Spider, but the one at Valhalla, I think that was at Valhalla.
That's my hot take, and forever will be, is I hate the TaylorMade Spider.
My dad has a Spider. He's a really good player, and I just could not stand. I had to tell him to stop.
Scotty Scheffler loves it, but...
No, I mean, good for Scotty.
It works for so many people, but then when I put it in my hands, man, it's just not comfortable. Everything just feels off.
I think if I played a bunch, I wouldn't mind like using it for a couple. I bet I could like it, but I just, not for me. Like the hands are look better.
Cool. Any other people we want to touch on the leaderboard?
Let's go, Homa. Come on. Shout out Homa for a great day. Come on.
Yeah. Shout out Max Homa. Let's finish strong tomorrow morning. Hey, are we getting full coverage like starting in the morning? Aren't they gonna like resume it? Like I think that's what they have.
I think they said they will. Yeah. I think they said they will.
Which is nice. So I'm gonna be up shining bright and early. And I'll have a coverage on them. That's honestly gonna be glorious. So that's at least a bonus. This they give you something. I mean, I hate to complain about one of the greatest things in the world, but I feel like we all love it so much, and it's like I can't watch it until like 1 o'clock. Really, I mean, you really can't watch anything of true substance until 1 o'clock. I mean, it's all just like, oh, I get to watch the 4th through 6th holes, sweet. I mean, I watch people play 5 all day. It's like I don't need to see. I don't need people. Like I watch 5 green all day. Like I know there's a massive slope in the middle of the green. I know balls you don't want to be right. Like I get it. Like I feel like I haven't seen. I don't think I've watched a single shot on 2, which is like my favorite hole. Like I love that hole.
Yeah.
And that's where I get frustrated. So I'm like, can I just get like, can I get like 2 through 4? Like, why does it always have to be these same holes?
Yeah.
Like who's deciding this? Who's in charge? Well, I just want to know who's in charge.
Sorry, I just want
to. I want to speak to a manager.
Well, you know what? You can go back. You can go look at every shot. However, that putt from Rory on 16 was so bad that they don't even show any of the shots from 16 for Rory. You just physically are not allowed to watch 16.
Well, he shouldn't. You know what? He shouldn't, because that putt was so bad that everything should be erased from his mouth. Because he should have made that putt. A really good golfer who's going to win the Masters would have rolled in that birdie, been 3 under, and would have parred out and been positioned. But I think I feel like a total hater, but I just feel like I watch it every single year, and I always think he's going to win. He never does. And everyone always thinks he's going to win, and he never does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Taking his dear sweet time.
Here's another name that we haven't even mentioned who's off to a good start. Known lover of Augusta National, Will Zalatoris, 2 under.
I also have him. I had him in some of my models this week, which obviously most people would, because he's such a good ball striker and just pounds the ball. But I even felt bad because there's 2 people I bet on today. I put money early on him before the round started to be the first round leader, which would have looked good if Bryson didn't shoot. It never had a chance because Bryson was already so far ahead. He had it. If he had birdied out, I literally was like, I'm gonna watch these 3 holes. If he birdies out, he gets higher. But I have him to. I do have also. I have 5 on him and Homa to win. So that's like those are like my 2 guys I'm rocking with this weekend.
You know what? I like those bets.
Agreed.
I mean, you can't. I feel like they're kind of like a yin and a yang. You got just like a ball striking savant and Will Zalatoris and just smashing the ball, and then you got like just the short game and like kind of. I feel like Max Homa just manages the course so well. He just doesn't make mistakes as well as other people. I mean, Zalatoris is liable to blast one and then miss a 3-footer, but he's at least going to give himself a lot of birdie looks.
That was Will Zalatoris' second shot on 13 from 197. I remember watching that, just going like, "Oh, that's in the water," and then it lands like a foot onto the green and rolls up to like 5 feet.
I was hesitant to go Hovland this week because I just feel like he hasn't been playing that well. Like I know he's
he did those swing changes in the off season, and he just got off to a really sluggish start to the season.
See, I don't know why he needed. I mean, I don't know what he's working on, but I just love to swing. I love the way he just rotates through the ball. He was playing so well at the Ryder Cup. He shouldn't have made any changes.
My comp to Victor Hovland is Ben Foltz. they have a very similar swing. Very similar.
You think so?
Move the ball.
Mm-hmm. That wouldn't have been my first thought, but I see where you're coming from.
It's not. I wouldn't say Foltz is as steep, but it's definitely that like tall setup, and it's like very like steep on the follow through. Like you really like it's really very rigid on the follow through.
Who would you say my swing comp is then?
Nobody can swing it like you, Jenkins.
All right. Well, then.
No, let me.
I'm looking for that. I mean, I personally think that my swing kind of does look like your biggest hater person, P. Reed. But I don't know if that's a.
That's why I couldn't think of anybody, because I refuse to watch him.
No, it's fine. I don't care. I was just curious.
No, I would agree with that. I would.
But I that's almost comparing my swing to a pro golfer. But I like his tempo. I feel like it was similar tempo.
Yeah. As much as I hate Patrick Reed, he does have a really good swing.
Yeah, because also what I like about P. Reed is I know because he plays kind of a similar where like I really try to cut my driver and everything, but I really want to play like a little bit of a power draw with my irons. And I know he plays that, so I like to see how he swings it because I know that that's what he plays. Where a lot of people I know are playing cuts, and I'm like, I don't know if I really want to be taking swing thoughts to people who are playing these cuts like Spieth.
Nothing but cuts, yeah.
Yeah, Spieth does think Spieth like overdoes it. He's like cutting everything. I'm like, yeah. Dude, come on,
yeah.
Like, let's drive the ball a little bit.
Spieth always overdoes it though. That's his entire game.
Yeah, but a lot of those guys, I heard Homa, they said a point, like his caddy said, like his caddy never doesn't even let him draw the ball. He cuts every time. It's just like, even if that works, that works. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, but Jordan Spieth, it doesn't work. So
it's true. I just think Spieth, I just think there's so many guys that hit it so far. The bombers have just caught up to him. I mean, his short game is still so good, but and he'll win another major, so I think, but. I think he's not going to be like a top player. I think everyone's too good, especially if the live guys come back. It's just, you know, he's not going to be a top 30 player.
His short game doesn't save him from every single time he gets himself into trouble by missing a green or missing a fairway. That's the problem.
But I do think he'll always be in contention all like every once in a while. I think he'll always get wins and I think he'll always be on the tour, but like, I don't think he'll be like the top 10 player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. I agree.
What did his bro JT shoot today? I didn't even see
that. Good for
JT.
Yeah, let's talk about fighting some demons.
Yeah,
Bones getting out of there while he still can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, JT needs to see Wyndham's therapist. I think.
I was thinking about my swing comp, and honestly, I don't know if it really compares to anybody on tour. Maybe Jason Day, but especially I think my biggest comparison to my swing is Fat Perez.
I would say that's actually a really good comparison. I was because I just think you kind of have like a 1-2 like straight through the ball.
It's not a short backswing, like Rom. Like I have a short backswing, but it's not like Rom where it's just like that super powerful, like rips it through. It's just tempo town.
Mm-hmm. You know, Mac. There's a little Bryson too. I feel like the way you kind of like keep your like if wide hits, you really like kind of
picks it straight up
on the ball. Yeah, but I don't think that's fully compared. It's hard with your lefty. I'm only thinking lefties, and but I don't think that's like a valid.
I mean, Phil's actually a pretty good comp as well.
Yeah, not bad.
You know, like one of my favorite stories is actually when I was in high school, my grandpa took me out to Rackham, local Detroit course, and Donald Ross design, and we're playing with a bunch of these old black guys, and they kept calling me the whole time. They're going, "Oh, little Phil."
That's awesome. I could see you following in the footsteps of like a, you know, you combine like Bryson's like swing path and Phil Mickelson's buttery kind of finish, and you have your swing.
Well, the attribute that matches Phil's game to yours is that I think a little bit of the not that it's bad, but the overswing on the backswing, like in the past, like if you're comparing your Phil, you have to be past parallel almost a lot, and I feel like you are at times, and that's Phil.
Yeah, in college, I will say though, to your point, in college I was overswinging, but now. I can't even get to parallel.
That's the focus. Well, yeah, I'm not trying to be parallel anymore. I'm trying to be less parallel.
Yeah.
Trying to be short and swing
and shocker,
drive ball.
My handicap drops significantly because of it.
So what's your handicap going into the year from last year?
Plus 1.7.
Not bad. I'm catching up. Plus one.
But, my goal this summer is 0.1.
Jenkins just finally broke into the under scratch.
I was up to like a 1.4 last year, which I mean, is probably what I actually am. I mean, if I really was playing like every day, tracking everything, I mean, I have a tendency to sometimes exclude some of my higher scores because I don't want it to get too high. Which is not good, but I need to log all my scores. But I mean, at the end of the day, I think I'm around that. So
Yeah.
No, I think your game is looking good right now.
All right. Well, I appreciate everybody's. You know, we're coming up on the counter here, but final question. Since we have you, Jenks, and yeah. I just want to say appreciate you taking time out of your busy day building beds, watching the Masters.
Not busy. My fiance is on a bachelorette trip, so I am literally free to. I'm just chilling. I've just had
Cheers
it
to
that. Yeah, doing nothing.
But what do we? What's our goal handicap at the end of the summer this year?
Oh,
round the horn.
I think I just want to be a plus one. I really just want to maintain. I want to. It's really about positivity this year. Not getting too worked up about anything. Just playing well. I feel like that's when I play my best too. When I focus on that, but it's a hard thing to balance. But my goal is just to maintain, be a plus one. I mean, I feel like I played better in the beginning of the year than I tend to get some bad habits. So I'm just gonna try to not get bad habits and not overthink. Too.
Right. I think that's very achievable for you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You should see my notes page, though. I'm thinking too much.
Everybody thinks too much. So the whole point of golf is to not think too much. You're basically
just living in Ohio. All you have to do is think.
You have to think so much, and then you have to shut it off in 10 seconds and hit the ball. It's
exactly.
Yep.
It's both. Yeah. Fulty, what's the handicap at? What are we trying to get to it by the end of the summer?
I'm a plus one right now. I think if I got it to plus 1.5, maybe plus 1.7, I'd be pretty satisfied. I don't know. My iron game, I had some swing thoughts over the winter, which was I really wanted to focus on my driver. The driver was the main pocket in my game, and it was well aware. I was well aware of it. So I kind of kept my irons the same. And as you both, or as you know, Mac wasn't there, but as you kind of
everything was working. I could say for sure.
So like the irons,
it was a fairway greens two putt every, and then how many birdies you make? Three,
four birdies.
I mean, it was, and he carried me to a massive dub over Evan Ferrara. So that was always down for that.
Always, always love it.
And all I did was make the match winning putt on 16.
Yeah,
that's all I did.
So I'm trying to keep my goal of a lot of birdies, but now I want to match that up with a lot of pars too, because as we all know, I ended my season last year with a 68 with three bogeys and a double bogey. So, like, yeah, hey, I achieved my goal of making a lot of birdies, but I also, you know, balanced it with basically five over par in other holes. So, you know, I think a 1.7 will be achievable for me. Yeah. What about you? What about you, Mac?
Yeah. So as I said, plus 1.7, and I'm, you know, very lofty goal here is a plus three. Realistically, probably, I think if I can get to a plus 2.2, 2.3, I think is realistic in my mind. I have had two really good seasons. I'd say two really good seasons of golf where I, you know, was just really stroking club, wasn't thinking, even over coming back from winter, just like had everything figured out. Started the season with a 71. Off rip, really excited, real jazz, but that's like birding the first hole, but for the whole season. So it's like, you know, 82s left and right inbound, it feels like. But I had Fultz in my head on FaceTime while I was on the range fixing me up. Got a lesson coming up, so we're going to get it figured out. Got a lot of tournaments coming up, and hopefully get into that plus three, ultimate goal, locking it in.
Very, very achievable. Very achievable. So I think those are some good goals, boys. Let's go and get it. Next thing you know, you'll see me at the Masters.
I have no doubt.
Just kidding. If you can beat Stuart Hagestad, by all means, you deserve to be in the Masters.
We didn't even get to Stuart Hagestad.
I don't even want to talk about it. Do not get me started
on. So I sent you the screen. My Billy was going off about Stuart Hagestad. I mean, my dad, he hates Stuart Hagestad. He thinks he's such a fraud. I don't know why. I think he's still got the life, but just go pro, man.
Oh, he does. Like,
what are you doing, dude? I don't get it. He's going to work at like Berkshire Halfway or whatever, that your financial firm. Like, dude, just play golf. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I get the impression he's kind of insufferable, like, if you met him, but hey, you know, I don't know.
You never know.
Well, appreciate it, boys. Cheers.
Yeah, cheers. Dip it out, baby.